LeBron shows up early in the second game against the Pacers. Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz overcome the Thunder in their game. Colin Cowherd calls out LeBron James for being such an amazing talent for the NBA, but we're falling now. The NBA has Ben Simmons. If you want to go, you can go. And, of course, the tragedy on Greg Popovich. So, all speaking on that this episode. Okay, so the first bit that I'm going to go into here is a series that I'm not really following. The reason why I'm not really following it is because, to me, it's obvious what is going to happen. And this is not to say that the team that's going to take the L's, not to say that they're not talented, not to say that they don't have premium talent, premium futures, and all around new uniform designs, which I actually quite like, but the Timberwolves against Houston, and Houston walks away with two W's. I think it's pretty much secure to say that they will win that series. Harden and Paul together is pretty dynamite, and with the possibility of next year them picking up someone like LeBron James, which I think is going to be more and more of an option for him as he looks around the league and tries to see where he should end up going. We'll come into the game that he had against the Pacers, but I definitely think, you know, Houston's going to be a destination for him, and they're going to make a good run in this playoffs. And I really do predict the Western Conference Finals to be Houston, Golden State. That's it, folks. Now, before we go any further, I do want to shout out Converse with Cutty. He's got a few different things going on right now, which is why we skipped on yesterday and today. We don't really schedule co-hosts, it's just when we are both available to do so. And following the playoffs, we will hopefully see them a bit more. I'm also hoping, and from what Converse with Cutty has said, it is more possible that tomorrow will be the day that we get another co-host collab going. So that will follow the game of Philadelphia versus Miami. So there we go. New Orleans. So the team that Converse with Cutty gives a lot of props to one player in particular, and that is Anthony Davis. But I've got to say, as a Sixer fan, I am happy to see that Drew Holiday is starting to blow up on that team here in the playoffs. Now, whether that was just a one-game thing or whether he will come into his own throughout this series, who knows? But hopefully he can get the follow of that second game. Rondo also did his thing, as you've heard in the earlier episode that I did with Converse with Cutty. Not such a fan of Rondo, but he did do his thing. But overall, Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, they're going to be the ones that step up and carry that series. Will Portland come back being 2-0 on the records? Who knows? I think it's possible because Portland, I mean, they've got that backcourt. I mean, a lot of people are saying now that people shouldn't see that backcourt as the superior over Rondo and Drew. But, you know, there is talent there with Damian and CJ, and if they can get into their own, they can go off. I mean, it could be a matter of time, but I am happy to see that Drew Holiday is coming to his own. He did a fantastic job, and I think part of that was also having Evan Turner on the Portland side. Just that friendship and rivalry in there was a great mix. Both Philadelphia alumni, I suppose. But yeah, props to both. And I think if I've got to make an opinion overall, at the moment, looking at how it's going to go, it's really all on game three. If New Orleans can go over in that, then I'll 100% say New Orleans can take the series, which will be interesting. Very interesting. I think if Portland are to scrape back, I'm not sure what that's going to do for them in the second round, because they've got to use so much of that energy just to win back this series. If they you know, if they can overcome game three, it's within a calling shot, you know. If they lose at this one and then they happen to pull it back, round two is going to be really difficult for them to get over. So, yeah, I think New Orleans got the advantage at the at this very moment. Now getting into the main event topics that I mentioned in the introduction, and the one that I'm really going to start with is Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz overcoming the Thunder, which was a great feat for them. Donovan Mitchell surely showing up. Yeah, the kid has something. He definitely does. But is he the prodigy that people see in him? I believe he's a hybrid player. So he's someone that takes the concept of Baby LeBron, Bledsoe, or someone like Westbrook, but also puts a lot on emphasis when it comes to the shot, and that kind of reminds me a bit more of Harden. So he's kind of a hybrid player, something a little different. Definitely a great combination. He also likes to play a bit like Avery. That's who he aspires to be like, which is, you know, no bad call overall. But is that his? Is he going to set his heights at that when he could possibly be more? I mean, that is the question that you should be asking about this player. It was rumoured that he was also given the nod a bit by LeBron James as the following king, but is he really that kind of player? Especially when you look around the league and you look at someone like Jason Tatum and you look at Ben Simmons now, a lot of people in that race are saying that Donovan Mitchell is a pure real rookie and so he should get the W for Rookie of the Year. But Ben Simmons did only start playing this year. Has he had an advantage by sitting a year out and getting to see how things work at Philadelphia? Yes. But the description of a rookie is one that has, you know, it's their first time playing the game. Playing within the game. Not within the environment of the game, because in that case, what happens if you have a college player that comes and watches every NBA game in a stadium and they're just about to get into the draft? Does that automatically make them a non-rookie because they've spent the year watching the team intensively from the side of the court? Maybe they got the nod of, hey, we're going to pick you up first in a draft. Who could we make the assumption of? So let's say Ayton this year. Say he gets first pick, and he's given the guarantee, so he, like a year before, he's given the guarantee that he will go first if he hits the draft by a team. So he sits on the sidelines every game that he can possible and watches the team play. They invite him to practices on the low. Does that automatically make him not a rookie, even though he's not really aligned with the team and the league itself? That's the question, because Ben Simmons wouldn't have played a game at that point. He would have trained, he would have seen, not trained a lot with that being said, but he definitely would have seen things. But is that really, does that really take away the credibility of what he has done as a rookie in game this year? Because I definitely see him as Rookie of the Year. Is that biased, being a bit more of a Philadelphia fan? Maybe so. But Donovan Mitchell does do a lot. He goes hard, that is true. He's a hybrid player. He's got the ability. He can shoot and he can get to the rim. You know, he's to me, he's more of a Westbrook hybrid. Westbrook, Bledsoe, Harden hybrid. Kind of like a chimerian of sorts. And definitely one that you want to watch that's going to excite. But is this someone that can carry a team? I mean, look at it this way. So he's on the Jazz right now the way that he is. He's kind of on his own. He's got a couple of pieces around him, but he's the one that's going to be looked upon as the man, because there is no Hayward now. People say Gobert, but hey. Donovan Mitchell, I think he's definitely going to be the man there as the years roll forward. But look at super guards. Look at Westbrook, who A lot of people refer to these days as a stats man. He's only looking to stack the stats. He will go ahead and get his team to not grab the rebounds, so he can grab the rebounds, so he can get the triple double. And that's something that I actually want to come back to Ben Simmons with. He can get a triple double without doing that. So what does that tell you for a player that can, you know, control a team? Then look back to a Philadelphia player. Look towards Allen Iverson, a superior guard who had pieces around him that were put there predominantly more for defense. They did their little bit on offense, but that was pretty much Iverson's role. And he got to the finals, but he never got a championship. And Westbrook, he could go so far, and he's the poor man's Iverson. Maybe that's harsh, but that is what he is. Donovan Mitchell, filling those kind of shoes, will he actually be able to grab onto a championship? That's the question. He will definitely need pieces around him to do it. So does he stay with the Jazz? Does he not? And in the era of super teams, who knows? Maybe he could eventually end up with someone like Jason Tatum on the team. So who knows? But look out for Donovan Mitchell. Well done to him and the Jazz. And can they come over the Thunder in the all said and done? It would be a nice little celebration of Donovan Mitchell, of course it would, but I think the Thunder can bring it back, because Paul George, he's got a point to prove. He's definitely the man for the Thunder over there. Westbrook does his thing, we already know that, but, you know, Westbrook is a funny kind of character, because when Durant was over in the Thunder, he was looked upon as the good guy, the leader. Then he exposed himself by going to Golden State, and Westbrook rose. Then Paul George goes over there, and a lot of emphasis is being put back to George, because even though Westbrook is running that team, you could also say there is an argument for Paul George because of the things that he's able to do, like game one against the Jazz. The way that he was able to put up the points and put in the effort that he did. And for me, that performance overlooked what Westbrook did. So I think the Thunder can win, but the real story of this is Donovan Mitchell and what his future is. It's definitely interesting. LeBron James shows up against the Pacers. Now this was an interesting one, because he came out with an agenda to give a whooping to the Pacers, and you can definitely say he did that. The whole beginning of that game was LeBron James. He blew up, simple as, he did his thing. But the one thing that I will say is, as the game went on, you could see how the other Cav pieces could let him down. How they were doing their bit, I will give them that. They were getting the score up and they were doing their thing, but you could see how they were kind of pulling him down a bit. But that team has been arranged to kind of be semi-cooperative, competitive with the league without LeBron James. It was set up for when LeBron says bye-bye Cleveland and heads out to Houston or Los Angeles, which is no guarantee he will do that. He might just stay in Cleveland because it's quite cushy for him. He can run that team. But it's if, you know, it's if the leaders of the Cavaliers, the GM and whatnot, are actually going to continue to put up with LeBron's, you know, high demands. Overall, though, if you look at that game and how it shut down and the Pacers come back, I don't know if you can say that that was such a great performance for the Cavaliers or whether it was a better performance for LeBron James than game one. Because for the Pacers, the way that they are, which if you look at them and you look at the players on that list, I don't want to say this harshly because I like the players on the team, but for a lot of them, you could say that they were the rejects of other teams. Thaddeus Young was a Sixer who was released because the process was a thing that was coming into tuition. Oladipo was, you know, his second team in the league was Oklahoma, and he was overshadowed by Westbrook and kicked aside because he didn't, you know, he didn't fit the bill in the end. I mean, you look around that team and the rookies that are building up there are also kind of set to be role players. I mean, Miles Turner is probably the only one that you could say could actually grow into something decent. I reckon if Glenn Robinson was anywhere else, he would be also a role player. Corey Joseph, he was a decent player in Toronto. If anything, he elevated his star in Toronto. And now that he's with the Pacers, he's got, you know, the opportunity to expose that. So the Pacers is an open spotlight. It's an open mic night for players that haven't been seen as quality stars that are able to pull something off. It is like a independent artist that has never performed before going to an open mic night in front of some of the best labels around. And those labels are all there, able to critique this person on the mic. Whether to tell them, hey, you're doing a good job, or, you know, keep doing what you're doing, or, okay, maybe we should sign this guy to our team, and let's see how that goes. But that team overall is only role players. There is no real star there. There is Oladipo, but is he star quality? I mean, you know, open mic night, he's the one that could be looked at right now by another team in the league, and they could turn around and say, hey, we want that player. But then as soon as he heads there, would he be overshadowed? That's the thing, because he was with Oklahoma. And where could he possibly go where he could stand out? Is Milwaukee the place that he should go, because Giannis needs someone there that can kind of help him out? But then Giannis needs someone that can get the assists up. As Converse we could have said on a previous creation of NBA Talk. So, you know, I don't know if the Cavaliers did all that they should have done, because that team is built to win, built with the player that holds up the East, or has done for so many years. So was that just a great introduction of LeBron James in that game? Was it a good Cav show up? Or are the Pacers overlooked? Because something is not right when a team like the Cavaliers that is built to win, that has star quality players. I mean, look at someone like Love, who is guaranteed somewhat of a star. You look at J.R. Smith, he's said to be somewhat of a star. Look at Kyle Korver, he was somewhat of a star for the Atlanta Hawks. So overall, the Cavs are built with that. George Hill, he was a Pacer with George Hill. With Paul George. You know, so was that really a show-up game for LeBron at the start? Was it a good Cleveland game? Or are the Pacers just really overlooked? Back-to-back speaking about the King, LeBron James. Now, Colin Cowherd, I've got to give props to. He's one of my favourite analytic personalities, I suppose, that we get to see. Don't always agree with what he says, but he's someone that I like to watch, someone that I like to listen to. I just like the way that he comes across, the things that he talks about, the way that he argues his points. Just his overall presentation as someone that can give an insight on his opinions for the NBA, NFL, whatever it be. And one thing that he said yesterday, I'm yet to catch today's episodes, was LeBron James. So he's been following LeBron James for the longest, since LeBron James showed up. And he has always been a big fan of LeBron. He had a feeling that LeBron would amount to something, that he was the one that people should pick in the draft when others were looking towards Carmelo Anthony and whatnot. And right now he's had that kind of feeling about Ben Simmons. So he's more excited about Ben Simmons' games and what he's going to do than what he's watching LeBron James, the king, the guy he's been endorsing for the last decade. Now, with that being said, he said how he thought Ben Simmons was more exciting right now, someone that could carry the East to some standard. Not to say that he would ever be better than LeBron James, that he could amount to somewhat of a magic hybrid in a way, and do his thing in the East, be the one to watch, because he's an exciting player, one that you kind of want to follow a little bit. That he's the special player on Philadelphia, and not that Philadelphia is a special team, which I'll get to that later on. And then he goes to say that LeBron James has been the prodigy, that he's been the hero, the villain, and now he's just the ambassador. The one that he's, he's somewhat of the face of the league. He's there, sort of thing. He's around. He's been that man that has done so much for the NBA. Now he kind of endorses it. He's a playing advertisement. And LeBron James, so overall, what is he now? Because he has been the Miami Heat villain. He's been the hero that returned to Cleveland for a championship. He was the prodigy that played for Cleveland before leaving out to join and be the Miami Heat villain. The ambassador. Is that fair? Because LeBron James still doing his thing. He's still got the possibility to come out with big games, big numbers. But I think the problem with LeBron James is we know what he can do. And we also know that we don't always see that every time, because he's a testy player. He likes to watch the pieces around him mould, I think he knows that this Cleveland team was built not for him, but for insurance. An insurance policy that if LeBron James says, buy Cleveland, that they'll have something. It'll be mediocre, but it'll be something. And I think he knows that. And I think that's why he stepped back in game one. And he kind of watched what was going on. If the young talent had what it took to overcome a role player team, the Pacers. And no, they didn't. Because they didn't show up. LeBron James showed up a bit in game two. It was all him in the introduction. And he showed that he could get a major lead over the Pacers just by himself. Then when the team came into it and the Pacers warmed up a bit, it wasn't that close at the end of the game. So LeBron James still has quality within him. But does he require a new team? Because he won't be leaving the NBA. Colin Cowherd said it is fine for him to leave because, hey, Ben Simmons is the one to watch on the East. So LeBron James, he won't leave the league because his plan is to be there when his son arrives. I think this is why, in a lot of ways, LeBron has never kind of took to the passing of the torch feel, because he wants, it's only, the father's way. He wants his son to be the heir of that throne, sort of thing, and he passed the torch to his son. But then an undeniable talent like Ben Simmons comes along, and hey, it could be now. Now, Ben Simmons, so Philadelphia fan, yeah, sure. But do I think that he is the one to watch on the East now? Yeah, I think he's an exciting player to watch within that team, the setting that he's got. He is not a shooter. He can get the ball to shooters. He is a passer. He can rebound. He's not 100% a scorer, but he can get the points up if he needs to. You can tell by the change of defense on teams that he's able to change his game to make it necessary, but he is not a scoring player. He plays the point at 6'10", which means he's diverse. He's got the ability to switch positions, something that we know of LeBron James. The thing is, we know that of LeBron James. We know what LeBron James can do at each one. We know the ability. We somewhat know that LeBron James has had his peak. I think that's fair to say. He's hit his prime. Is he still at it, or is he past it? That's the question. Ben Simmons, the reason that he's so exciting is he's only a rookie. A lot of people are saying quote-unquote plus one, yeah, but he's a rookie. He will not hit his ceiling for another few years. He's got time in the league to develop, to get the boards up, to get the points up, to get the assists up, to get blocks up, to get, you know, everything about him can be star quality. He could be the next Magic, the next LeBron. He probably won't be another Jordan because, hey, he's not a scoring point. If he gets a shot, he could be unsurmountable in the league for the East. But he doesn't need a shot because he's a walking advertisement board for the Philadelphia Sixers. Whether he stays in Philadelphia or not, wherever he goes, he's a walking advertisement for the team. Because players will take a cut, if they can shoot, to go there. Because if Ben Simmons gets them the ball and they can get the points, all eyes on them. They get the spotlight. They're a walking Indiana Pacer. Because the spotlight is all of a sudden on them. And they've probably never, you know, it doesn't need to be a player that's ever surmounted to something, but they could be good at a certain aspect. And with training, they can be better. And with a passer, they can be better. So they go to Ben Simmons, he makes them an all-star. Who knows? But does the torch pass here? I think it's too early to tell as a Sixers fan. I think Ben Simmons is definitely the one to watch on the East. I think Giannis, I don't think he's next. I don't think he's got it. I think he's a star. He can definitely do so much, but I don't think he's someone that you could say can change the game because he's a scorer. That's what he's for. And you can tell by this series that he's on right now against a Boston team that really has no one but rookies that are doing a quality job, by the way. You can tell that he needs more. I mean, he's got Bledsoe, he's got Henson, he's got Parker, but he needs more. He needs help. So is he the man? I don't think so. Ben Simmons, he hasn't technically got the greatest players on his team. He's got a bunch of rookies. He's got one or two veterans that you could speak of. And he can still make a change, make a difference. He won game one. He's hoping he wins game three tonight. I think Ben Simmons is the entertainment right now, the one to watch, the one to watch grow. And I think eventually he could be the next one that could take the crown. I think it's all a matter of time. But Ben Simmons has quickly become my favourite player, the one to watch. And I think that is also a big statement, or, you know, it is now a new big statement that someone like Converse would cut it. So someone who likes to watch premium star players, someone that likes to watch something that excites them in the NBA because his team's not around. Cutty is a Supersonics fan. And they're not around right now. So he's searching around the league looking for what he finds entertaining. And for the playoffs, through the talk that has come through others, he's basically a bandwagon fan for the Philadelphia 76ers. And Ben Simmons is a big part of that. Probably the part of that. I think that speaks for itself where the entertainment is at on the East right now. Now, kind of following on with sadder news. So, if you have been listening to this episode, you've heard that Convos with Cutty and myself have spoke about Greg Popovich. And Cutty has mentioned how this is his very big time, because this is where Greg can show up, because he doesn't really have a star player, he only has Aldridge. Now, very recently, Popovich's wife passed away, so, tough times for Popovich, and it only gets worse at the moment, but it could become better. He doesn't have Kawhi right now. Obviously, he's going to be mourning the loss of his wife. It's not looking likely that the Spurs will come over Golden State. It's a hard time for Popovich right now. In the aftermath of this situation, could it be that Kawhi returns to Popovich? Could it be the Spurs keep their assets that they now have? But I think the run here this year over the playoffs is, I think it's a cut off for the Spurs. I think the Warriors have it guaranteed. And I think the time of Popovich is now off the table. I think he might give it a try because, that's Pop. That's what a coach has got to do, especially someone that is spotlighted as one of the greatest coaches. I think he's going to give it a good shot. But I think it's off the table this year. Following such a sad-stricken segment, I suppose, we'll go into the predictions. So first, and starting with this, basically off the back of that, Spurs-Warriors. I'll give it to the Warriors. Pop is not going to be in the mindset to even be involved in this one. I think the team's going to try their hardest to do something for him. I think it's all going to be in the aftermath for Pop. But I think the Warriors have it. New Orleans and Portland. New Orleans is, they're in a good spot right now, but it's all on game 3. Portland need to show up now. But if Drew can go off with Anthony Davis and Rondo, I'm thinking Pelican win. Miami Heat and Philadelphia. Oh, so this is the one to watch. Now, I want to say that Philadelphia will get the W. They have the talent. They have the ability. But this is Wade's house once again. Now, why it doesn't really bother someone like Simmons, as he's spoken in press conference appearances and whatnot. This is the house of Wade. And Wade's going to feel a lot more comfortable in his house. Even though they do say that you're more comfortable in away games because you kind of want to shut everybody up. But nonetheless, I think Wade will get some boost from being in his own house. Now, if Philadelphia can get to their shooters, if Ben can get the open man and the open man can get the points up, because they're not actually shooting so much in their training right now, which is a problem, I believe, because they're playing on, from what we've heard from post-speak and whatnot, media opportunities, they're speaking on physical contact. That's where training is right now, which I think is right, because game 2, Miami Heat are getting all upon them, which is what has caused Ben Simmons to do the scoring that he did last game, because he's not got the ability to get to the open people, the open pass. So I think that's definitely something that he needs. But he's also going to need his shooters on point. He's going to need JJ to show up when the Heat is on, which is something that JJ is 50-50 on. he's going to need Roko to show up. But again, someone that is, you know, unpredictable. Saric is going to give it his all. We already know that. He'll be flying all over the floor and everything like he does. Joel Embiid, we don't even know if he's going to be in this. And if he is, will it slow down the Sixers or will he pick up the pace? That's a question. So, Marco Bellinelli. He's going to be an open choice because he can do his thing. He can get points up. He's going to need to be there. TJ, definitely going to need to show up when Ben is... when we can push him up the positions, push him back into the front court for a little while. TJ and Markel, they're definitely going to need to show up for that. And when Ben needs to get some rest, they're going to need to alternate a little bit to help him out with that. James Anderson, Rickon Holmes. They're two guys that the fans of Philadelphia kind of like, but they need to be able to show up. So they need to be in a position where they can both come across and make a difference. And I think that's going to benefit them with physical contact. But yeah, I want to say Philadelphia. But it all depends on if Miami can shut them down with Josh Richardson, Justin Winslow, and so on. And if someone like Wade can be stopped from going off. But yeah. I want to say Philadelphia, so I'm going to say Philadelphia because, you know, Ben Simmons got my support. Favourite player right now. The additional thing that I will say on that run is it's kind of heart over mind. I picked Philadelphia because that's the team that I follow. That's my team. And Ben Simmons... he's the favourite player right now. He's the entertaining one for people to watch. Everyone to watch. Watch Ben Simmons play. But Miami can do so many things. They haven't got the talent that Philadelphia have. So maybe a mind one is that Philly can come overcome Miami anyway. Because they've got the talent to do so. But Miami has experience. And that is a bit of the problem. Because the main bit of experience that Philly has is JJ. And JJ needs to be able to get that into the youth. Push it into them that this is how things are going to go down. But, you know, it's not always so easy. And I think it's something that you also need to confirm with... this is Philly's first time in the playoffs for a long time. This is a baby team. Bunch of rookies. This is experience building. They don't necessarily need to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, kick out LeBron, and go to the finals, and battle the hell out of the villains of Golden State. They don't necessarily need to do that. I think they feel they probably do because they want to prove a point. But they don't need to do that because they've got the possibility of coming back and back and back. I mean, if you look at the next draft, it is likely that they can pick up someone like Mikal Bridges. And he was actually called one of the best players in the NCAA basketball league of last year. At the start of last year, he was going to be the man, or one of, one to watch. So if he ends up in Philadelphia, they could be really onto something else. Another rookie to the pile to give experience to, but the rest of the team will have experience to help that player along. So it's definitely interesting. Now, the next episode of NBA Talk will likely be with Converse with Cutty on Friday. That will follow the Philadelphia-Miami game. No idea of what time. But I will probably, maybe, possibly drop a promo to let you know if it's going on or not. later tomorrow. I want to thank you for listening to this episode. Please try to listen to more. Go and check out Converse with Cutty. You can find The Word Is Mark, which is myself, across Twitter, Instagram, and soon YouTube. I'm thinking of doing something like this, like casts, over on YouTube as well, along with gaming side of things, but we'll get to that another time. So, for this one, I will see you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.